streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for the great Colin Cowherd. Mark Bedino will join us later on this hour as we continue to react to the NBA news of the day, which yesterday... Yesterday was Kyrie Irving had asked for and received permission to seek a sign and trade. And then last night it was opting in to stay with the Brooklyn Nets. He went on to tell The Athletic. I love these quotes. Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. With the number 11. Anyway. So, look, Kyrie, who last year, obviously, you know the story with COVID and him not playing half the year, and they only reached out to him when they were their roster was depleted. He still averaged, 27.5 points, 6 assists, 4.5 rebounds, and only 29 games of regular season work. Add that to the fact that, he was celebrating Ramadan, and where during the playoffs, Ramadan, in case you don't know the Muslim custom, you don't eat or even drink water during daylight hours. Yikes. So I don't know how he expected to have a profound impact in the playoffs. He did. He looked weaker. He looked tired. There were some struggles there from a normally great player. So here's who they have under contract with the Nets. And look, the Nets, this could go one of two ways. Obviously go very poorly. He doesn't want to be there. They don't want him. You could get rid of him. Somewhere, it's an expiring contract. Maybe you can get rid of him midseason. What they have is Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons, who make $44, $36, and $35 million in change against the cap. Whew, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's 19, 20, and 23.5% of the cap on three players. Now, remember, they also have Joe Harris, who was injured. They have Seth Curry. They still have Patty Mills, I believe, which is a player option. And that's pretty much it of the guys that you know. The rest, they have to kind of create around those three, those four. Now, the first thing is that not having Joe Harris, and I know Joe Harris didn't shoot the ball well in the playoffs the previous year, but not having him, that changes the dynamic of everything. The threat of Joe Harris makes you have to get a guy who doesn't leave him. The threat of a guy who's a great shooter. And Joe Harris has positional size, so defensively he's different. Like, Patty Mills and Seth Curry are probably just as good as shooters. Maybe Seth Curry's as good a shooter. Patty Mills is a really good player. But because they're so small, there's a complete difference between them and Joe Harris. Just is. So simply having those four and then figuring out what you're going to do for, you know, you're going to need a small ball five. You're going to need a rim protecting five. You know, you have all the guard scoring off the bench you need in a Patty Mills if you get him back, or a Seth Curry. Right? You don't need any more. The rest, you just need 3 and D's, rim protector, small ball five. I could be dead wrong here, but I don't hate it. I don't hate it. You know? Because unlike, and this is assuming Ben Simmons is back for training camp, they've never had a training camp since they had Kyrie and Kevin Durant and James Harden where they were all together. James Harden was traded for, you know, early to mid-season 2 years ago. And then, of course, last year they didn't have Kyrie until late. They've never all been together. You can't your defensive rotations, your defensive system, your offensive system, you can't put those in on the fly. You can't. You can add in pieces as the season goes on, but your core guys kind of got to be your core guys. And if nothing else, like Steve Nash, it's kind of been a Petri dish the last 2 years where he's gotten to try some stuff out. Now he's really going to have to coach. But if Ben Simmons is back, and I understand so many of us have bailed on Ben Simmons, right? Because he became a worse version of, he just won't even shoot the basketball. Then he wouldn't shoot layups. He's got to get back to playing basketball, seeing success with the ball going through the bucket. You know, just if they're going to have Kyle Korver, he needs to just follow Kyle Korver around all offseason when his back gets right. And do what he does and shoot the basketball. It's still going to be a lot to fix that thing at this point in his career. But that ain't a bad team there. Because in order for Ben Simmons to be Ben Simmons, he needs space. And you have Joe Harris and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. You got space. And Ben Simmons helps you in the defensive end, which is the weakness to Kyrie Irving. It's not the strength of Joe Harris. And Kevin Durant's become a good to, not necessarily a plus defender, but definitely not a minus. That could be a good team. There's obviously they got to figure out, you know, Nick Claxton, they, you know, could be the rim protector. They got to figure out the rest of the whole deal. These two things can be true. You can not love Kyrie Irving's, you know, the idea that he thinks he's being different. Like, he's not being different. He's chasing the money, and God bless him. Like, if somebody says, hey, you can make $36 million to stay where you are and play with your friend, or you can make $6 million to go across the country and play with a guy who you like, you respect, but you guys were on the outs with. You have no idea how good you're going to be. You have no idea what that culture's like. You don't know the new coach, whatever. And they just kind of took you because they could took you because it feels like you're a bargain. Like, I would do the same thing. I wouldn't. And we could be down on Kyrie in terms of all the other space cadet stuff. But he's going to, if he wants to stay in the NBA, he's going to have to change his behavior. He's going to have to show up more often. He's going to have to be more a part of the team. And if anything, this is a great test case for all sports. I want you to think about what the Brooklyn Nets did. Okay. The Brooklyn Nets did what no one seems to be willing to do in sports and say, no. Mm-mm. Now we're not just going to acquiesce to you. We're not going to fire our coach who we like and we think does a good job. And, you know, people in the media don't even understand. Like you have people in the media who have zero clue about actual basketball. Like Blake Griffin comes in the playoffs, like, well, why did they play Blake Griffin? Because he can't play anymore. Literally, he got into the game, and the first thing that tells you that Blake Griffin's out there, let's go right at him. He can't guard anybody. Can't play. Like, you think Steve Nash doesn't want to play Blake Griffin? Doesn't want to play LaMarcus Aldridge? They're washed. They're done. That's what happens. Oh, well, you need more space for Kevin Durant. Like, okay, but if you play Seth Curry and Patty Mills at the same time, who's going to guard it? You can't guard. Do you know how big and strong and, like, where are they going to guard for the Boston Celtics? You can't hide anybody. So then you play bigger bodies, and everywhere Kevin Durant goes, he's got two guys on him. Not a magician. So the Brooklyn Nets have said, nah. That's our coach. That's our general manager. This is how we're going to do it. It'll work. And Kyrie's like, well, I don't know. Like, maybe I'll sign and trade. Okay, go ahead. Fine, sign and trade. Oh, no one doesn't exist? We don't like the Lakers one? Nah, you're staying here. You want to play basketball under contract, $36 million, this is what you do. They drew a line in the sand. At the end of the day, Kyrie backed down. This, I could be different. No, different would have been, I'm going to opt out. I'll be a free agent. I'm going to see what's out there in the market for me. He flinched, and now they have him. Like, look, that's what the Arizona Cardinals should do. We're going to give Kyler Murray an extension. Why? Did anybody watch the playoff game? Kyler Murray was awful. He was atrocious. And look, I'm a fan of Kyler Murray in comparison to Baker Mayfield. Like, that dude's got, but he's bad at the end of the last three seasons. Well, he's been injured. Okay. Well, DeAndre Hopkins out. Okay. He looked awful. Couldn't play. So I remember the Arizona Cardinals have Kyler Murray under contract for 2 more years, and then they could franchise tag him. No negotiation, 2 more years. That's 4 more years. Actually, 5 if you want to transition tag him. With no negotiation, the Arizona Cardinals don't have, and like, that's not how it's going to work. They're going to give him a contract extension. Why? I don't know. Because that's what everybody in sports does. You get a little nervous about finding the next player because this player, but you don't have to find the next player. He's not going to walk. He's not going to go anywhere. You just acquiesce. And the Nets are like, we're not acquiescing. Let's see how Kyrie Irving plays when somebody holds him accountable. And we don't actually have to hold him accountable. He can hold him accountable. Because if he doesn't, he won't be in the league or won't be anywhere he wants to be next year. It's a curious motivator, right? And like, well, they didn't talk to Kevin Durant. We don't need to. Kevin Durant has said, I don't want to be a GM. Okay. You don't want to be a GM? Good. You don't need to be a GM. We'll see you when we see you. When things get settled, we'll call you. We'll talk. See what we got. I don't hate it. Because at the end of the day, Kyrie would not be an NBA champion, would not be as talented as he is if he didn't have a competitive gene. That fires. We know how much Kevin Durant has a competitive gene, how much he loves hoop. I don't know about the competitive gene with Ben Simmons. But I do think I do think that he is going to like the environment in Brooklyn, and it's a fresh start for him. I have no idea about his mentality and if he can take the fact that Philadelphia is going to be hard on him and other places are as well, and who knows if he can shoot, but the talent is definitely there. I wouldn't go out and buy anybody else's net stock, but if I'm sitting there on net stock, let's just hold it. Just hold it. At the end of the day, you have Kevin Durant, who's the best player in the sport. You have Kyrie, who's one of the most talented dudes in the sport. And you have Ben Simmons, who has some of the greatest potential in the sport and has been a very good player in the sport. If that's your starting spot, if you are honest with yourself and say, despite an unmitigated disaster this season with KD getting hurt, having to get rid of Harden, you know, Kyrie not playing for more than half the year, and you still got to the playoffs. And the year before, with everything going on, I mean, you're up 2-0 on Milwaukee. It still goes game seven. I don't think they're as far off as other people think. Right. The quote is just wrong. Opting in was the easy thing, the normal thing to do, what you and I would do. Wait, I'm guaranteed to make $36 million, and then I can be a free agent next year, or I can maybe make $6 million, or who knows? Opting out would have been abnormal. Opting out would have been the taking a risk. Opting out would have been the non-traditional, hey, you know what? I don't need a sign and trade. I'm just going to do my own thing, find my own home. Kyrie so badly wants you to think that he's so many things that he's not. He's a great basketball player who wants to be a great person and wants to be all of these things that are anti whatever common culture tells you you should be. And the truth is, he's just a great basketball player who also likes the respect of making a ton of money and playing with his friend and teammate. All right, with Kyrie choosing the Nets, Russell Westbrook opting in, what now for the Lakers? What now for Bradley Beal? What now in the league? The guy who knows joins us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb in for Collins, The Herd on Fox Sports Radio on the iHeartRadio app. Welcome in. Hope you're having a great day. We continue to react to the news of the day in the NBA, which is, I guess, threefold. All three point guards, right? Kyrie Irving is opting in after what was reported as limited options in terms of if he, one, opted out, and two, there was really only one team in sign and trade, and the Nets didn't want to engage. In return, Russell Westbrook has opted in. That's $47 million. I'm not, can't really hate on that. And then John Wall takes a buyout. It'll be about $41 million. This is just gigantic numbers. And the reports are he'll sign with the Clippers. Let's get a sense of where we are and what's next. Mark Medina joins us. He covers the NBA for NBA Media. Of course, he was our Fox Sports Radio NBA playoffs insider. And again, outsider, okay, outsider looking in, it's the Nets, they didn't acquiesce. We're not giving you max extension. You want to find a sign and trade? Fine. There wasn't really anything worth trading out there that they wanted to retain. It feels like they drew a line in the sand and actually did what they said they were going to do. And Kyrie chose the $36 million over the $6 million with the Lakers. Is it really that simple?
Yes, and I think, you know, when Kyrie Irving is opting in, it kind of reminded me of George Costanza from Seinfeld, returning to the office and pretending he didn't quit and acting like nothing happened. I think you had a really good analogy the other day where it seemed like these two sides are heading for a divorce, and I think that that might still be the end result, but to use this analogy, maybe it's one of these things where both sides are practically thinking, well, we got to time this right, make sure it doesn't hurt the kids as much, maybe wait for them to leave college here. But I think that there is a scenario for this still to be reconciled. I mean, on paper, the Nets can be a contending team next season with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons is assumed to be healthy. They have some good depth around them. But as you know, Doug, on paper with Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving, is always unpredictable. So while I think that Ben Simmons should be healthy next season, it seems inevitable that there is going to be something that's going to make him unavailable at certain parts of the season. With Kyrie Irving, there's no vaccine mandate that he has to worry about, but I think there's going to be something else that will prevent him from being fully available. So I think this just keeps the flexibility open and the Nets being able to have a wait-and-see approach and make the best of it, but also not being saddled with any sort of commitment if this continues to go haywire.
Okay. Did, I mean, Russell Westbrook opts in, and I know part of this is the timing with you have to decide by Wednesday, but how much of it, how much of the timing of it and the announcement of it happened to coincide with the fact that whatever the Lakers have said in the sign and trade, he was the one offered up. How much of his timing of that announcement is a reaction to what came out?
Yeah, I think it's all tied together. On one hand, it is a formality. He was going to exercise his option because there's 47 million reasons to do so. But yeah, I think that there was an order of, you know, the Lakers, I think it was considered a long shot to begin with for Kyrie to come in because of the salary cap number, but you kind of have to follow the steps here. And while I wouldn't rule out the Lakers still trying to trade Westbrook, but you know, you and me, Doug, you and me have discussed this for a while now, that the market's been depressed. So it seems like the Lakers are resigning to the fact that, you know, Russ is going to be on their team, and they're trying to sell the idea that they can make the best of that with a new head coach with Darvin Ham and more time than presumably 21 games for LeBron James and Anthony Davis to play with Russ. And look, I like Frank Vogel as a coach, but a lot of times a head coach is only as effective as his voice resonates. So maybe that makes a difference with Darvin Ham. In defense of Westbrook, the Lakers issues also had to do with the fact that there was a faulty supporting cast and, you know, injuries, most notably to Anthony Davis. So maybe if Anthony improves his offseason regimen, that will put Russ in more of a position to succeed. But I personally put a lot of blame on Russ himself with not being adjustable to many scenarios as the first through third option, playing on and off the ball, and also sacrificing the things that Darvin has talked to him about, hey, really getting after defensively and willing to adjust his role. That's something that Frank Vogel had also stressed, and the message wasn't received. But I think from an organizational standpoint, the Lakers, you know, are somewhat optimistic that they can make the best of Russ, but consider me a skeptic.
Yeah, no, I'd be a skeptic as well, and I think all of that stuff is in fact accurate. What about the Clippers? What would be the plan B for John Wall? Come off the bench or be the starting point guard?
You know, that remains to be seen. I think as much as the Clippers have talked about, even after draft night last week, about wanting to have continuity, they have acknowledged in different parts that, look, it'd be nice to have a point guard. As much as Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were assuming those responsibilities and crediting that for opening up their game in the last few years, they also want to preserve those guys. So I think that the silver lining with this is, you know, John Wall has been in purgatory, so to speak, not because he didn't want to play, but because the Rockets were trying to invest for the youth and all that, and obviously also increase their lottery odds. And so I think for John Wall's case, I would suspect that he would be amenable for starting or coming off the bench, but I think as loaded as the Clippers are, they would love to have a better point guard. And so while there are question marks about how he'll fit in, you know, in fairness to his injuries, how he's going to, you know, replicate what he used to be in the past, because of how much depth the Clippers have, they can kind of absorb some of those growing pains. I think it's a perfect fit. And regardless of some of those finer details that you discussed, I think for the large part, it'll work itself out for the better because of, you know, the personnel.
Okay, so if we are set with if we're set with, for now, the Nets, and I mean, in terms of Kyrie, and I agree with you, like, there still could be a divorce, but as of now, like, let's just you know, call off the attorneys and go to therapy, right, and see if we can get through this year. What's next? What's the next major domino in the NBA? Is it Brad Beal? What's the next domino?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. Unlike other past free agent signing seasons where we knew, okay, this person represents the domino, there's all these like parallel possibilities. We thought maybe Kyrie Irving's a domino. We thought maybe Russell Westbrook's a domino. As of now, it doesn't look like they're the next domino. So My hunch is I think DeAndre Ayton's the next domino for two reasons. One, I wouldn't rule out that Bradley Beal's definitely a wizard for life, but I think that he is going to sign that five-year extension, and for different circumstances, it's kind of similar of, hey, the Wizards and Beal are buying themselves time. With DeAndre Ayton, because of the fact that the Suns didn't want to commit to him an extension before last season started and the way the playoffs ended last year, I think that the Suns are going to be entertaining sign-and-trade scenarios. And I think with DeAndre, I wouldn't be surprised if his feelings soured as well about wanting to be in Phoenix. But the Suns have more leverage here because he's a restricted free agent. And while I wouldn't say it's 100% their partnership is done, I'm leaning toward that being the fact. So I think that there is a market for him, as much as it's today's NBA. It doesn't put as much premium on size. He's still a young, athletic guy that I think that there should be some suitors for him. I just hesitate to know which teams exactly would be in the running for DeAndre, but I think philosophically the Suns should get some assets in return of any combination of some decent wing players, maybe a backup point guard to help Chris Paul knowing where he's at in his career, and some draft picks. So I think that will be the first domino to take a look at here.
I would tell you that I don't think it's that the NBA doesn't value size. It's the lack of versatility with that size.
Yeah, 100%. Right?
Yeah, like the traditional, a traditional big guy, I mean, look at the playoffs. It's really hard to win with a traditional big guy. It's also really hard to win with a traditional point guard, especially one that's, 6'2" or 6'2" or below. That's just that's a hard thing. The cap number and the tax number for the Warriors is obscene, right? Obscene. And I know they made a ton of money this year because they own the arena. I get it. But rich dudes do not like to pay, they'd be a repeat offender. They don't want to pay more taxes than they have to.
Yeah.
What do the Warriors look like when they take the floor next year?
Well, for sure, obviously, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they're locked into long-term deals. Expect that the Warriors are going to reach extension deals with Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole. I think even because of the luxury taxes you're talking about, they're looking at them as part of the championship core and don't mess around with that. Now, I would keep in mind the order of things. I don't think that these extensions are going to happen right away in free agency, but that's just because they have time before next season to do that. But that is the biggest priority. And then when you're looking at free agents that they actually have, this is where the trickiness gets involved here that you outlined with how will this affect Kevon Looney and Gary Payton II. I think to a man, both players are handicapping the Warriors because of their championship pedigree, the fact that this organization put faith in them and oversaw their development. But look, all it takes is one team to give a deal to them that is, quote unquote, too good to pass up. And so I think while the Warriors are going to be willing to spend on those guys to keep them because they have their bird rights and because they know their value, they're also vulnerable to the rest of the marketplace. But if I had to handicap it, I think that still Gary Payton II and Kevon Looney are going to come back. It's not to say they won't get market interest, but I think that they are mindful that they have a special thing going. So look for all those things to happen, and where the Warriors will, shave money will be on the fringes of, keeping a roster space open for both for financial flexibility and roster flexibility. It's things like that. But when it comes to, hey, will this decision be a major influence on whether we can repeat as a champion or not? Joe Lacob, the Warriors' majority owner, is going to go toward that than worrying about his bill at the end of the day.
It feels like the Knicks are going all in on Jalen Brunson, right? That you hire his dad, you don't draft anybody, you set up assets that you can move, maybe in a sign-in trade. Is that fair? That's the general feeling they're gonna move mountains to try and get Jalen Brunson?
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. And I think beyond that, I think the Knicks are also setting themselves up for next summer as well, just so that they're not putting all their eggs in one basket, so to speak. And as far as the Mavericks' chances of retaining Brunson. I think that they want to spend on him, and they're hopeful that the fact that Luka Doncic is on their team helps. They tried to make some moves earlier already with getting Christian Wood, you know, in a trade with Houston, but let's just be honest, that's not necessarily a game changer. Maybe it helps with their depth. So, yeah, I think that Brunson very well could go to the Knicks because of his father's relationship, because the Knicks have money. But if I'm looking at this from a basketball standpoint, even if the Mavericks, you know, aren't quite there yet as far as being a contending team, I think that they're heading in the right direction incrementally. But, you know, again, all it takes is one team that, you know, offers a really good deal here.
All right, let's circle back to the Lakers. If they're stuck with Westbrook trying to buy in to what they're selling, if they have LeBron and Anthony Davis, what can they add?
Really not much. They just have a $6 million mid-level exception, and then the rest is veteran minimums deals. And I know that they like Malik Monk. You know, he showed some good secondary scoring, some energy off the bench. I'm intrigued to see, would they use that mid-level on him or not? The reality is he's going to get more than a veteran's minimum deal like they got him last year. So that's where I think the tight rope is. And so, look, the Lakers aren't in an ideal situation, but I think when you're looking at it, the best that they're hoping on is that LeBron James is LeBron James and Anthony Davis maximizes his availability odds by, you know, doing the right things with his recovery work. And it's not so much of, oh, he didn't shoot a basketball this past offseason. It's more about, okay, what's he doing from a strength and conditioning standpoint and an injury prevention standpoint so that he's not a guessing game as far as, you know, his injuries are concerned, and then Russ tapping into that. But look, when I'm connecting all these dots, I think it's a heavy ask. I don't bet against LeBron because when should you do that, even if he's in his 20th season? But I'm skeptical that AD can ever stay injury-free, and I'm also skeptical that Russ can change his spots and change his role. So I think there's only that much of a ceiling that LeBron and a new coaching staff can make. As far as their roster decisions, it's very limited because of their spending restrictions.
Mark, great stuff as always, man. It's so far been interesting, and we haven't even hit like the bell of free agency, but it's always fun and frankly entertaining. Really appreciate you joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
I appreciate you. It's always fun entertaining talking hoops with you.
No doubt. Mark Medina, NBA media, covering all things in the league, plus our Fox Sports Radio NBA playoffs insider. Let's get to Ryan Music with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Ryan, what do you got?
Lots of great hoop talk there, Doug. I'll add one more here. As you guys had talked about, we know Kyrie Irving's going to return to Brooklyn. Russell Westbrook's going to return to the Lakers. What about Donovan Mitchell? There have been questions about his status with the Jazz for a couple years now. Interest reached its peak this offseason after another early departure from the playoffs. He posted a screenshot on his Instagram of Spotify where he was listening to a song called, quote, "Let Me Go." This also amidst the fact that the Jazz are looking for a new head coach after the mutual split with Quinn Snyder.
Well, and Donovan Mitchell obviously is a guy who many people think wants to be a Knick, right? And I guess the massive freakout on TV by Stephen A. and Spike Lee, like, not taking the 11th pick in the draft, that doesn't change anything about
it. It changes everything, Doug.
It's just like they're loading up on assets, okay? And those assets can be used maybe to make a pick next year for an elite player, but more than likely to trade for somebody else's star player. And Mitchell has been that guy. So, you know, I guess I don't understand the use of social media for these things. Right, the use of social media for these things.
It's become quite the trend across.
No, I know. It's like, listen, you can ask for a trade or make your without it being on social media. It's not like, you know, you can actually work out with your trainer without posting on social media.
No, it actually doesn't. It does not count. You don't get any benefits from that if you don't make it public. Just like no meal has been consumed or enjoyed unless it's also been posted on social media.
I will point out that I had a really good meal on Friday night at a place in Long Beach. I took my daughter to see Primus, and yeah, that was I did it. I posted. I probably shouldn't have.
You're also an honorary millennial, so it's fine.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. All right. Now we'll wrap it up here with this NFL story. When the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson, gave him a huge, massive, fully guaranteed contract, we knew that meant the end of Baker Mayfield's days in Cleveland. But after a few months, here we are. Baker still remains on the Browns roster. We're also awaiting an official word on what the suspension could be for Deshaun Watson in 2022. Some think it could be as long as a year. It could be indefinite. We know him and the Players Association are going to argue for something much less, if nothing at all. Well, at a camp at Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield was asked about some type of reconciliation with the Browns.
A lot of people think if they didn't have a quarterback for the next year, would there be any chance of reconciliation there?
No, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out, but we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides.
So Baker Mayfield very much trying to stand firm on the fact that he will not play for the Browns again.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen there, he did say, well, there had to be some reaching out. Like, basically, they're going to have to kiss my ass if they want me to come back. That's what he said. And to this point, they haven't. So, look, every Baker can talk tough because he's got $19 million guaranteed coming in. $19 million. But he should also point out, to this point, Seattle hasn't been willing to take on much of that contract. Carolina, who was interested. And as TJ Houshmandzadeh said, like, the further we go, the less likely it is that he's moved to one of those two teams, because you got to get up and running with their system. We're not putting you in even right before training camp and expecting you to succeed. That it's just too hard. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Julian Edelman has put Jimmy G on blast. How so? We'll play for you next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if you... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Herd, Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. So there's a lot of talk of new media and old media and whatever. I think it's actually hilarious, to be completely candid with you. Like, Ryan, how would you characterize what people believe is new media, or what athletes believe is new media?
I think it's the hot take debate shows that are just out giving big opinions on the biggest stories and giving more opinion than proper context to the actual facts of a story.
I don't actually think that's new media. I think that's hot take, but I think the perception, and you and Jay Stu, you guys can tell me if you think I'm wrong. That's considered actually old media because of the guys, you know, the Skips, the Shannons, the Stephen A's, the whatevers, those guys are considered old media. New media, by my estimation, is the Draymonds, the J.J. Reddicks, the Kendrick Perkins, for example, the guys who are either still in the NBA or, for the most part, most of them are just out of the leagues in which they played. And them kind of parachuting into those debate shows and giving what they perceive to be, and I think it's a much more realistic take on it because they're actually boots on the ground and they've actually been in those locker rooms. Jay Stu, is that fair? Ryan, is that fair? Like, in terms of the new media, old media kind of debate sort of thing?
That's where I was going to go with it. I think new media is from the perspective of the athletes. I think they came up with this term. It's kind of what was it on TNT, that Players Night or Players?
Yeah, Players Only.
They can't, because they think it, since it's coming from their mouth, then it comes with a little bit more credibility.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Here's the problem with it. It's always existed. The issue with, and this is a generational thing, and I don't think this is the only generation that's like it, but there's really not only no very little studying of history, there's definitely no respect of history. There's been plenty of guys who have had radio shows, TV shows, been parts, you know, had been in the media. You know, there's you know, when Magic would lose in the playoffs, he would be on the call of the NBA Finals. Likewise for Isaiah Thomas, when he had the deal with Larry Bird, where, you know, he said Larry Bird, he's just another guy if he wasn't white, right? But, you know, I'm like, Tony Romo went from being a player to calling games on CB, like it just happened. It's honestly unbelievably disrespectful to past athletes who have made the transition to media that they act like they're the first guys to ever do it. Like, dude, Shannon Sharpe was an unbelievable football player, and then he was on calling games on. He was in studio on CBS, and now he's giving takes on Fox. Like, that's how JJ, for example, views Bob Cousy. I didn't dribble his right hand. That's because the only time JJ Redick has actually invested in watching Bob Cousy play is the one highlight of him dribbling at the clock with his right hand. Again, no perspective, no understanding of when Bob Cousy played, he was actually an incredibly flamboyant passer, a flamboyant ball handler. The game, and people go like, well, they're playing against plumbers. Like, yeah, okay, well, if they were playing now, they would have all the weight training and skill training that you have. They were, in their era, they were dominant players. Just didn't pay enough money for guys to solely dedicate themselves to playing basketball. So that's my take on new media. The thing about some of this new media is there are some stars. Like, I think JJ's really good. I think Julian Edelman is fantastic because he's funny. And he does give you some insight. Here's Julian Edelman. He was on the I Am an Athlete podcast. And again, this is the new media element. Like, hey, we don't need a host. We just have former athlete. Here's Julian Edelman telling a story about Jimmy G.
So we go into week four, and, you know, I guess, you know, Jimmy was practicing and then, you know, decided not to play. And Jacoby played with, you know, no ligaments in his thumb, which you can't do that as a quarterback. You can't. You grip, and if it's your left, and a lot of guys got mad about it. A lot of guys got mad. I'm not gonna lie, I got mad about it. You know, I sacrificed my body all damn long, all day long. I was taking shots for this, numbing up that, ribs, broken ribs, shoulders, you know, grade three, hanging on by limbs just to play, you know? And, you know, I can understand why Hardy thinks like that.
Look, and that's, I love the real insight, the real talk, the real stuff. Because at first he wasn't going to go there. A lot of guys are mad about it. Then all of a sudden he's like, I got mad about it. Let me tell you how it felt. Now, of course, it lacks the perspective of having Jimmy on. Like, look, here's what really happened. I wanted to play. I couldn't do it. I couldn't lift my arm. I literally could not throw a football. Couldn't do it. Or maybe Jimmy G's soft. So on one side, there's the new media. This is what we hope for. There's no filter. There's no PR guy going, do you really want to say that? You could see Julian Edelman kind of working it out as he went. A lot of guys are mad about it. I was mad about it. And then he went there. But man, this does some harm to Jimmy Garoppolo. Now it's out there. Now he's soft. Now he's hurt, not injured. Now guys in New England were mad at him. All right, coming up next, I think we learned two things about the NBA yesterday. And they both revolve around Kyrie Irving opting in to stay with the Nets. What are they? You'll find out next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.